Good morning. I'd like to greet you this morning with the words of Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to each and every one of you to our communion service. And whether you're a regular attendee or a visitor, or this is your first communion, welcome. All baptized, repentant believers are truly welcome. It is my prayer and desire this morning, as we find in Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before your throne of grace, and Lord, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you that we as brothers and sisters in the Lord can gather in your house and commemorate communion, a time of reflecting on what it cost you to redeem us. Thank you, Lord, for being willing to go the way of the cross. Thank you for leaving the beauty of heaven and coming into this world and paying for our sin. And Lord, today as we reflect on what it cost you, may it really sink into the depths of our heart and soul. Forgive us, Lord, for so often taking the gift of salvation for granted. Lord, may you refresh it anew in our hearts and grant us that inner joy and peace and comfort that comes through our relationship with you. Lord, we ask a hedge of protection around us, ward off Satan and his forces that so often want to disturb or distract us. Help us to keep focused on you, and may your spirit move among us, we pray in your holy name. Amen. At this time, we have some congregational singing, please.
Let's take our red hymnals and turn to page 4. There shall be showers of blessings. That was page 4 in the red hymnal.
Showers of blessing, this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Number 9, Yaizu Yaizu. Number 9.
Jesu, Jesu, bread from heaven, thou of life, that fountain art. With thy presence thou unite us, let us serve thee one in heart. Hear our fervent supplication, for thy promise we have heard. Visit us with thy salvation to fulfill thy precious word. Thou wilt be amidst thy children who sincerely call on thee. Bless us too who humbly waiting in thy presence long to be. Teach us how to sing thy praises. Teach us how to watch and pray. With a childlike faith renew us, simply trusting every day. Keep our thoughts from ever wandering. Let our hearts be stayed on thee. Give us steadfast Christian virtue, light and strength and surety. May thy straying ones be gathered safely now into thy fold. As the members of one body, may we live the faith of old. Grant us eyes to see thy wonders. Grant us ears to hear thy voice. Hearts renewed for humble service. Heaven's home, our resting place. Let us in this world of darkness be a light, a guiding ray. As a savior to the weary, pleasing thee, O Lord, each day.
For an opening scripture passage this morning, I'd like to turn to the familiar verses we often share at the time of communion, found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'd like to pick up in verse 23 and read through to verse 28, where the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, he saying, The cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Here we see the importance of how important it is to partake of communion, to remind ourselves, or to, you might say, refresh in us what Christ really has done for us. But we are to do self-examination. And the Sunday prior to this, we often have Preparation Sunday, where we are encouraged to look into our own hearts and soul and make things right if there's things that are lacking. But I always maintain, and I'm sure everyone does, that our life should always be such that any given time, if communion was offered, we would be ready and prepared to participate of communion. God's mercy and grace is available to us every day of our lives, every hour of the day. So to be ready and prepared at all times is so vital in our personal lives. But as we go through life, we make choices. You know, many choices have long-lasting effects. But the most important choice that I trust everyone has made here is to serve the Lord, to accept Jesus and his gift of salvation. In the Old Testament already, people were encouraged to choose. In the book of 1 Kings, in chapter 18, verse 21, where Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." You know, here was a setting where God really revealed himself. The people that chose to worship idols or to follow Baal, you know, they were encouraged and challenged by Elijah, you know, you build an altar, you put your sacrifice on there, and you pray your God that he will destroy and burn up this sacrifice. And this thing went on for hours, and Elijah actually started teasing them or taunting them. He says, "Well, you need to yell louder. Maybe your God just can't hear." And so on, and nothing happened. But then when the time came for Elijah, and he was, you know, way outnumbered by those that followed Baal, and he prayed to his God, he made the altar, he repaired it, he put things in order, got them to really water it down, and he prayed, and God revealed himself mightily. You know, fire came down and consumed the sacrifice, it consumed the wood, it consumed the stones, the water in the trench around the altar, everything was gone. And you know, the challenge is to you and me today. Who are we choosing to follow? You know, to follow the Lord is what always brings comfort, peace, inner joy. But he says, make a choice. Don't halt between the two. And likewise, Joshua, when he was confronted by ungodly or non-believers, he says to them, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." My confidence is everyone here has chosen to serve the Lord, to live for him wholeheartedly. And we are all in need of Jesus Christ in our lives. And without him, we are in a very sad state. In the book of Romans in chapter 3, first of all in verse 10 to verse 12, the writer says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. But they are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." You know, and if we wouldn't read further in God's word, you know, that would sort of leave us in a very depressing, discouraged state. But thanks be to God, his word, and when you read it in the full context, is a word of love, a word of salvation, a word of mercy, a word of grace. God loves us unconditionally. And then further down in the same chapter, in verse 23, we read, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, there is no exceptions. All of us are in need of someone to save us and to redeem us. Then in the book of Romans in chapter 6, first of all, in verse 23, the first part of the verse, it says, For the wages of sin is death." And if we'd stop there, it again would be a very depressing state that we are in. You know, the consequences of sin is death. And the death it speaks about here isn't your or my physical body dying, but it's spiritual death. And spiritual death is eternal hellfire for the person that has never committed his or her life to Christ. And hell is a real place. You know, when we look at the account in the book of Luke in chapter 16 of the rich man and Lazarus, you know, the two lived as neighbors, we might say. And the rich man, you know, he lived well. And the poor man tried to be content with the crumbs that fell off the rich man's table. And it tells us dogs came and licked his sore. You know, and when we ponder that, that is not the most pleasant thought. But then it goes on to tell us that both died. The rich man ended up in hell, and the poor man, Lazarus, in heaven. The rich man, he was able to look into hell. And here he sees Lazarus, content, oblivious to anything else that's going on outside of eternal life in heaven. And the rich man, he was given the opportunity to speak. And, you know, and his mindset had not changed, obviously, from before he died, because he wanted to use Lazarus, when we call him in Plotich, a shekbangle. You know, send him over here, get him to dip his finger in some water and to cool my tongue. And he was told, you know, it's impossible to go either way. So the reality is, heaven is real, hell is real, and after physical death, our soul goes to one of two, and it is forever too late to change your mind. But Jesus provided a sacrifice. He provided a gift. And if we come back to Romans 6, 23, the last part of the verse, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, as a Christian, you and I have the full assurance of knowing when we have physical death, we have eternal life in the same place where Lazarus is, in heaven, oblivious to anything else that will ever be negative around us. We have eternal glory, and praise be to God that he has provided eternal life in heaven. But that provision of eternal life did not come cheap. It wasn't bought with money, but it was paid by Jesus himself with his own blood and his own bruised and beaten up body. And I'd like to remind us of what it cost Christ to redeem all of us. And I'd like to share Christ's crucifixion, or his story of suffering, we might say, paraphrase it, and to have taken it from the first four Gospels in the New Testament. And it was the time of the Passover, and Jesus wanted to commemorate the Passover feast with his disciples. The Passover feast was a feast that the Israelites celebrated every year when they were released from a land of slavery in Egypt. And you know, they were given some very distinct instructions, and one of the instructions was to travel with unleavened dough, so that when they baked bread, that they had bread, but if there was no yeast in it, you know, they could travel with it for some time. And then later, when they commemorated this, they would use unleavened bread to celebrate the Passover, and they would drink of the fruit of the vine. And Jesus gave his disciples specific instructions. There in this place, in this room, you prepare. And then in the evening, he sat down and had what often is referred to the Last Supper with them. And Jesus did things that the disciples didn't think were appropriate. And one of those was where he wrapped a towel around himself and he went from disciple to disciple and washed their feet. Now, foot washing was something that was very common for the lowest servant or slave in the house to do for the guests that came to visit. And here Jesus took on what might be referred to the most humble role of washing his disciples' feet. And we see how when he came to Peter, Peter wanted no part of this. This just didn't seem right to him. And he said to Jesus, there's no way that you should be washing my feet. And then Jesus says, you know, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. And then Peter says, well, then wash all of me. You know, it was sort of his vivacious nature, you know, his character. He spoke easily and maybe not always necessarily thought things through. And then as they're sitting around the table, Jesus tells them, you know, one of you is going to betray me. And then as the discussion went on, you know, they sort of talked amongst themselves, who's it going to be? And Jesus also warned them, you will leave me, you will forsake me. You know, and we see how Peter pledged, you might say, his allegiance and says, you know, even though everyone else will forsake you, I will die for you. You know, he was sincere, he was deep, he wanted to never be guilty of forsaking the Lord. And Jesus warned him, and he says, Peter, before the rooster crows twice, you'll have denied me three times. And it tells us also that the other disciples also said they would never forsake him. And then they took part of the cup. They drank from it together. Jesus blessed it, served it to them. They took part of the bread. Again, Jesus blessed and served it to them. And then they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, to pray. And Jesus separated himself from the rest of the group and asked three other disciples to come with him, and he prayed earnestly, and he wanted prayer support. And we read of how he was in anguish, how he pleaded with his Heavenly Father, isn't there a different way that we could follow through with this? And after the first time of praying, he came back to these three disciples, and they're fast asleep. And he sort of admonishes them, can't you at least wake with me for a while and pray? And he did this three times. And after the third time, he came back and he says, you know, keep on sleeping. You know, the time for me to be captured is close at hand. And then as they walked out of the garden, here comes Judas with a large crowd. And he had agreed with them that he would show them who Jesus was. And the price for his betrayal was 30 pieces of silver. And he approaches Jesus, he kisses him, he calls him master. And, you know, Jesus sort of, questions him, you know, why do you call me master? And after Jesus had been identified, we see how Jesus asks the group, who are you looking for? And it tells us how they fell over to the ground. And in other words, they were powerless. But unless God gives and allows, things don't happen. And they were able to get up, they bound Jesus, and Peter sort of gets into the action and he wants to defend Jesus. He takes out his sword and he cuts off one of the soldier's ears. And Jesus, he says, Peter, put away your sword. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword. And Jesus took this ear, performed a miracle, and healed it back in its place. And then Jesus was taken before the high priest. He was questioned. He was falsely accused. And yet he hardly answered any of the questions. He was interrogated and he was sentenced. And if he admitted that he was God's son, they accused him of blasphemy. As these things are going on, Peter, he's warming himself by a fire within a group. And one of the maids recognizes him and says, weren't you one of those that was with Jesus? And Peter denies. Another maid recognizes him and again questions him. He denies he knows Jesus. The third time, the maid goes as far as to say, you know, your accent betrays you. You're one of them. And it tells us Peter denied deeply that he did not know him. And the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus. Jesus turned around and looked at Peter, and Peter went out in shame, and he was sorry for what he had done. He wept bitterly. There was deep remorse. And when Judas saw how things were going and that Jesus wasn't removing himself in a miraculous way and things were not going the way he maybe thought and expected they would, he also, might say, was sorry for the betrayal he had done. And wanting to make things right, he went back to the temple and wanted to give back the money that he had taken for betraying Jesus. And he was simply told, you know, that's up to you, do whatever. And it tells us how he threw out down the money, went out and hung himself. You know, two very exact opposites of dealing with mistakes in life. You know, the truth is still there for you and me today. When we turn to Jesus with remorse, there is forgiveness of sin. If we take matters into our own hands and don't turn to Jesus, we despair. We become depressed. And for Judas, it seemed the only way out was to do away with himself. That is not a godly way of handling difficulties in life. Then Jesus was taken before Pilate, again, interrogated and questioned. And Pilate, he had a custom in that day that at Passover, they would release a prisoner. And he took out Barabbas, a guy known for murder in the city. And, you know, I'm assuming Pilate sort of thought, well, if I'm going to give them a choice, this one or Jesus, you know, they'll obviously choose to set Jesus free. But to his surprise, the people wanted Jesus crucified and Barabbas released. And seeing he couldn't convince the people differently. It tells us he washed his hands in front of the people and says, I am innocent of this blood. And the people cried out, you know, his blood would be upon us and our children, you know, having no clue what they asked upon themselves. And he allowed Jesus to be scourged or whipped, to be beaten. And we might say the sight, I'm sure, was horrific. And after all this mistreatment, he was taken or expected to carry his own cross to Golgotha to be crucified with two other criminals. He was put on the same level as someone else that deserved crucifixion. And we see how his body was so weak because of the beating and the mistreatment that he'd had, lost lots of blood already, no strength, and how a man named Simon, a farmer, was on his way into town, and they asked him to carry the cross for Jesus. And then as Jesus was on the cross, suffering immense pain, almost choked out, you know, suffocating because of the way he was hanging there, he still spoke. And he spoke, scripture records, seven different times. And it was never about himself. It was always reaching out to others. Jesus is still the same Jesus today. He's all about you and me and our spiritual well-being. Our physical needs are provided. And if we have more than what we need, we are truly, truly blessed. But to be blessed and content with needs provided, thanks be to Jesus. The first thing that he spoke that is recorded in Luke 23:34, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, that is a true example of a forgiving spirit. That is an example that you and I should strive to follow at all times in our life. The reality is, we will be wronged. We will be hurt at one time or another. It's not a matter of if or not, it's a matter of when. And when that happens, and we have Christ in our heart, and we purpose in our heart to forgive before forgiveness ever is asked for, we do ourselves the biggest favor. But if we carry grudges, we will cope with discouragement. We will cope with bitterness and all the negativeness that can happen, and it will really tear us down. But when we look to Jesus and ask for help to forgive, we are freed. The other person, God will work with him or her. Whether they ever come and ask for forgiveness, that's not the important thing. The important thing is that you and I follow Jesus' example and forgive. And then secondly, recorded in Luke 23:43, where Jesus says, Verily I say unto thee, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. You know, that's what he spoke to one of the criminals that hung on the one side. The one mocked him and said, you know, if you're the Christ, why don't you say, let's step off of these cross. But the other one rebuked the first one, and he says, you know, this man is innocent. He has not done anything to deserve this. And then he asked Jesus, you remember me when you're in paradise or when you're in your kingdom. And Jesus promised him, today you will be with me. You know, the most beautiful and wonderful words anyone can ever hear. And then John 19, verse 26 and 27 records, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. The disciple that Jesus, or that scripture refers to here, is John. Jesus was concerned about his earthly mother and that she would be taken care of. And we might see he committed her into the care of John, and John took her to live with him. Despite of the anguish, despite of the pain and all that Jesus was suffering, he still was concerned and loved others. He felt the burden of the entire world's sin. You know, the sins of the past, the sins of today, the sins of the future, Jesus took that all on himself, something we can never, ever imagine. And we might say his heavenly Father turned away. And Jesus cried out in Matthew 27:46, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, we can't even begin to imagine how alone he must have felt. You know, when we go through difficult times in life, sometimes when we might feel deserted, where are my friends? Or the self-pity party, nobody loves me. The list could go on. We have Jesus to turn to. He hears us. He comforts us. But Jesus had nowhere to turn. There is no way we will ever grasp that. But he is real through the Spirit in your life and my life today. He understands when we hurt, and he's there to comfort us. His physical body, you might say, was at its worst. It was bruised, beaten, broken, crown of thorns on his head. You know, the most inhumane things that we can think of, they happened to him. And you know, he had a human body like you and I, and he was thirsty. And in John 19:28, he asked or cried out, I thirst. And we all know how refreshing a nice cool drink of water can be on a hot summer day. What did they offer him? Vinegar and a sponge. You're supposed to suck on it. No mercy from anyone around him. Then in John 19:30, it is recorded where he says, it is finished. And then lastly, he spoke in Luke 23:46, it's recorded, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And after he said that, he gave up the ghost. Does Jesus understand you and me? Absolutely. He understands being humiliated. He understands being ridiculed, falsely accused, and being deserted. The list goes on. You know, sometimes in different forms, you and I suffer some of these things in life, but never to the extent of Jesus. We have Jesus. He understands. He knows. He died to redeem you and me. But the beautiful thing is, after he died, he was buried, but that wasn't the end of him. He arose the third day, and today you and I have victory. You know, as Jesus died on the cross, the devil and the many people that were involved in crucifying him thought, we've won the battle. But little did they know that in 3 days, they would be the losers. Today, we have victory. Thanks be to God for that victory through Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, verse 57, the Apostle Paul says, well, but thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know about you, but often one feels so inadequate of showing our love and our appreciation to Jesus for what he has done for us. But let's praise him. Let's thank him. And before Jesus suffered and before he died, as we already heard, he celebrated the Passover with his disciples. Today, we want to also remember Jesus' suffering, his death. And we want to eat some bread to remind us of his broken body. We want to drink of the fruit of the vine to remind us of the blood that he spilt for you and me. But before we do that, I want to give each of you the personal opportunity to pray. If there's any sin that you haven't confessed, confess it. Ask for forgiveness so that all of us may be worthy to partake of the elements of communion. For those that are able, please kneel with me for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, we read, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it." And so too, we want to take the bread, ask the Lord to bless it, and then we want to participate in the communion. Let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for your willingness to leave the beauty of heaven and to go the way of the cross. We thank you, Lord, for allowing your body to be broken so that we today can have salvation so full and so free. And today, Lord, as we participate in the eating of this bread, may it really make us mindful of your broken body. Bless this body, bless this bread, bless us as we participate, we pray in your holy name, amen. At this time, we will distribute the bread, and after you've all been served, we will all together eat it at the same time after you've been served. And if you're gluten intolerant, please let those know that are serving you, and we have some gluten-free options with us here today. I'd like to ask the song leaders to lead us in song, please.
Take the red hymn book, turn to page 125. Hark, the Master's voice is pleading. 125.
Welcome, proclamation.
968, just as I am.
After distributing the bread, I'd like to ask, have we missed anyone? Please feel free and let us know. If not, we continue on in the last part of 1 Corinthians 11:24, where Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Brothers and sisters, please eat in remembrance of Jesus. We continue on in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25. We read, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" And so too, we want to take the cup, ask the blessing, and serve it. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we thank you for Jesus' spilt blood, the blood that washes our sin as white as snow. And Lord, as we partake of the cup, may it remind us of your spilt blood. May you bless it. Bless it to our hearts and our souls. We pray in your holy name. Amen. We will serve the cup at this time, and there is also a grape juice option if you prefer that to wine. And you can drink right away as soon as you receive it. And then after you've done, maybe pass the center two aisles to the center aisle, the empty cups, and the deacons will collect it after we're all done. And the outside aisles, again, towards the center aisle, and your cups will be collected as well. So at this time, I'd like to ask the song leaders to lead us in singing, please.
Let's take the blue book and turn to number 34, How Great Thou Art. Number 34.
There is power in the blood.
Would you be free from the burden of sin?
I'd like to ask again, have we missed anyone? Please let us know. In closing, I'd like to read one verse out of 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. The word shew means to proclaim. You've all proclaimed your love for Jesus. And may it continue to grow. May you continue to serve him. Amen. I'd like to give each of you the personal opportunity to thank and to praise God. And for those that are able, let us kneel for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen. In Matthew, in chapter 26 and in verse 30, we read of the account of the Passover that Jesus had with his disciples. And in verse 30, it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. They closed their service with a song, and likewise today we want to close in singing. Please.
177. God be with you. Out of the blue book, yes. 177 in the blue book. Let's all stand.
Till we meet again.
Yes, what a beautiful meeting that will be to someday all meet at the feet of Jesus. I daily get my personal devotions online from Dr. Charles Stanley, and on the 14th of June, I thought it might be appropriate to share it in closing with us today. It's titled, God Deserves Our Reverence. Today, we want to spend some time, as we already have, in remembering how great God really is. And my encouragement is, let's never forget his greatness. Galatians in chapter 4, 4 to 7, we read, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I'm sure we've said this, we've heard our children say this, my daddy is stronger than your daddy, or my mom makes the best food in the whole world. Have you ever noticed how little children instinctively trust their mother and father and often speak of them with pride? To an innocent toddler, no one is smarter, prettier, or funnier than his or her parents. But at some point, things start to change. As children grow up and observe the world around them, the unwavering admiration they once had begins to falter, especially by the teenage years. Then perception of parents can shift, causing indifference and ingratitude. What happened? Teens naturally want to feel independent, which leads to questioning parental views and discovering that mom and dad are fallible human beings. So let's take a moment to check our hearts right now. Jesus said that we should be like children in Matthew 18:3. Do you adore and admire your heavenly Father? Do you talk to others about him with the same reverence and joy as when you first believed? If any of that delight has faded, ask him to help you rediscover it. Then spend time in his word, watching for his personal encouragement to you. We've come to the conclusion of our communion service. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your prayer support, and may God richly bless you. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may now go in the peace of our Lord.